Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I'm Caroline Stanbury, star of The Real Housewives of Dubai. I'm remarried and living my best life ever. See, there's so much life after divorce. I'm starting my new chapter unapologetically. I'm bringing real stories, real life, real talk on all things that aren't said between each other, society, the sheets, and everything in the middle. And lucky me, you'll be joining me on the journey. Listen to all new episodes every Wednesday. So buckle up.
So welcome back to another episode of Divorce Not Dead. And today I have a very special guest who's actually a friend of mine, Omar Jackson, who has the brand OJ Lifestyles, partners in Berkeley Assets, and an entrepreneur. So welcome, OJ. You are one of my first male guests that isn't my husband. And it's actually really good because I want to introduce more men and I want more male perspective on this show. Because as I've always said, Divorce Not Dead is not just about being divorced, or it's a relationship-based podcast. And it's, you know, it should be the perspective of men and women. And you live in the Middle East. You're very successful. And I wanted to talk about really what it's like dating in today's world. Welcome, Omar.
No, it's good to be here. So good to be on the podcast. And like you said, being one of the few males that have had the opportunity, I've seen Sergio popping on it a few times. So it's a pleasure to be here and looking forward to talking about this topic.
Yeah, so I think it's really hard today, no matter what. Living in Dubai, Dubai has become such a bubble. Everybody wants to come to Dubai. I kind of feel like women come here feeling like they're going to have a rich sheikh or Arab and everything's going to change. They have their Cinderella moment. And people have a very unrealistic view of actually what Dubai is like, because, you know, they feel like we live in this sort of Vegas, sort of Disneyland world. What is your view on Dubai? Because you and I have been here quite a long time. Well, you've been here a very long time.
Yeah, I've been here roughly 10, 11 years now. And so I've experienced Dubai in its first bubble in the 2010s and now the current bubble we're in now, post-pandemic. So it's quite eye-opening when you compare it to where I'm from, which is London, like yourself. But the style out here, I think everybody comes here looking for initially sun, sea, and sand. But as social media has grown and developed, and Dubai has become such a focus of social media globally, I think everyone's eyes, and we forget because we live here, but outside of this bubble, everyone is looking into this bubble to see what's going on and wants to be part of it, wants a part of it. And I think it's just a natural draw to the city. And that includes whether it be for success stories and business or for trying to find a relationship.
I mean, I feel like, you know, we have these two sides, because I'm somebody who, even though I got divorced here and moved on here, I raise a family here and have a family lifestyle. But you still have the other side of Dubai, which is, you know, crazy sort of party lifestyle that exists. I mean, it exists in anywhere, really. But, you know, here specifically, I think we've just got this rap of it being a very rich town. And do you find, compared to England, I mean, you know, do you find the women are different? Do you find they have a different agenda here?
I think I can look at it from two perspectives. So previously, going back 2018, 2017, those years when I was younger, I was one of those that were here. I used to party a lot. So I used to really enjoy my time and for everything Dubai had to offer. And I would find that the moment, you know, I could meet a lady, a girl, a woman similar age to me. And the moment they come to Dubai, there's almost something that it's like a switch has flicked. And I think that's purely because of the surroundings that they find themselves on. They can go out and not spend a penny, not through a fault of their own, but because there's many wealthy guys who've got tables and promoters who will bring them on to give them a good night out. Whereas in the UK, yes, you can do that at some clubs, but girls and women will pay their own way. And I think, like with everything in life, it's habits. So once they get into a habit of doing that once, twice, three times, four times, suddenly now that becomes an expectation that they have for males. So then when you meet them in nightlife, bars, nightclubs, or wherever it might be, they are expecting of you as the man to pay for them, to cover them. And then those expectations over 6 months in Dubai, 12 months in Dubai, and so on, those expectations grow beyond nightlife. It goes to the malls and the shops. And because of social pressures here, they might want or expect a certain lifestyle to be afforded to them, and that they're not necessarily going out and earning themselves, because the kind of culture or mentality has changed to what it was back in Europe or the States.
And that's quite an interesting point, because I think, you know, Europe has changed, where I think I talk about this a lot, the one income household, it's over now. I think everybody's sort of chipping in and seeing that it's an unrealistic way to live, and that the sort of bubble of these giant bonuses is gone, and that everyone needs to sort of pull their weight today when you become part of a relationship in a way, be it whether you're running the home and doing everything for the man in that respect so he can go out, or be it whether you're partners and you both go out to work and you share the load. I really believe in that, in sort of equality at home and in the work, that it should just fall on both of you. So, you know, and I think that that's something with your asset company that we were talking about earlier, actually, was teaching women in today's society how to prepare and to look after themselves, which is kind of why this podcast came up as well. Because, you know, not only is it hard to date over here, but I think people lose sight of, or you know, it looks like quick, easy money. And I think, you know, people need to learn how to invest for themselves, how to take care of themselves, which is what you guys have been doing for quite a long time with men. I think you had a fund for men predominantly, but now you actually focus more and looking at teaching women the same strategy.
I think naturally when you're in the world of investments, which I've been for the last 15 years, you generally target the male population, especially the older money or the more set in place institutions. They tend to be run by males because they've been around for 20, 30 years potentially, and over generations. But,
and by the way, sorry, there are a lot of women that suddenly inherit or get a big divorce settlement and that need to know how to make their money
absolutely.
Work for them, and that maybe don't, you know, and that's, it's an important part.
I feel a lot of other firms or individuals have missed the boat on that front. And especially in this day and age where it could be someone who's got a big divorce settlement. It could be a woman who's inherited big money. But also, as you've just mentioned, more and more women are moving up the career ladder, are CEOs, managing directors, owners of well-known brands, whether it be nationally or internationally. But they haven't necessarily been approached or had the knowledge of what to do with the money once they got it, because the focus was never on them. And the marketing was never delivered to them because that wasn't the focus of the marketing. So we've very much over the last few years tried to put a focus on that, made sure we built a team that was very well balanced between males and females, so that as a firm, we could learn to understand how we need to market and pitch towards women, so that we can win their business ultimately. And that's something which we're looking to do more and more.
So you, as a successful man yourself, Do you tend to gravitate to, not, I mean, I don't mean this in a weird way, but like, what do you say, wealthier women, like financially independent women? Does it bother you to take care of someone completely, like mentality wise, more than financially, to be honest?
I think gents like me can fall into difficult situations, if I'm honest, because we have something instilled in our brains that we want everything.
Yeah.
And not everything is possible. But not when I say want everything, I'm not being greedy and wanting perfection. What I'm saying is you want the opposite size of both coins, opposite sides of a coin all at once. You want someone who, you can take care of and offer the world to through all your hard work and share all of those beautiful and wonderful experiences with. But at the same time, you want someone who understands you, because we're maybe different to 99% of the population with the working hours that we have. Our flexibility might be more in certain ways, but less because our whole passion and devotion is on our careers. And so it's quite difficult to give maybe sometimes as much time as someone might want, or for people to understand the stress levels that we might have to experience or go through. But in order for a woman to understand what maybe I have to experience, she would have to experience it sometimes. It would help if she was able to experience it. So where then there's a successful woman who in her own right is doing what she's doing, that is a massive help.
But then, I forgot to mention, but Omar also races for a Ferrari. So if he ever does have any time off, which isn't very often, he's then on a track. So she'd have to be very quick to catch him. But yeah, I mean, how would you, because I don't know how you even meet people. How would you meet people? Have you used apps here? Because that's not even, I don't even think they have apps in the Middle East. That's maybe a job for me.
I've never used a dating app.
Threatening to do one of those, to have a sort of an app over here. You've never used one?
I've never used a dating app, ever.
Why?
I think, obviously, the obvious one that's been out for ages is Tinder.
Yeah. But,
and I know there's been loads have come out since then. There's two reasons why I haven't. Number one, whenever I associated that app and friends that used it, it seems to be just like working girls on there half the time. So I'm not interested.
I mean, that's another thing. Dubai is full of girls that come here sort of, and you don't, I've heard like the stories where it's like there's a lot of working girls here. So how do you know the difference? I can't even tell, frankly.
A lot of us can tell when you're going out and about, and it can be obvious, they're sitting at the bar by themselves. Okay, we know what that's about. We're not interested in that. But what gets me, just sidetracking from the conversation we were just having, it's hard to tell sometimes as a guy. And look, we can come on to men, and I can speak for men in a moment, but sometimes it's not just about being a working girl, which is the obvious. There's a big culture in places or cities like this where girls are, especially young girls, they're expecting things, and there will be guys who are older with money who, they're not a working girl, but they will basically fund them. It's like having a sponsor, right, who are funding them monthly, maybe paying their rent for them, maybe giving them a car, maybe doing this, that, and the other, in return for whatever the man wants.
I've seen that a lot here, actually. That's kind of a thing
here. Popular here.
Yes. Does it exist anywhere else like this?
And these ladies, by the way, are working. They could be teachers. They could be stewardesses at Emirates. But they're doing this as well.
Yes.
And they will say they're not a working girl. Well, I'd argue otherwise.
Yeah.
But that's why it's so difficult for a man, because, or someone like me, they're the hard ones to spot. Because they are girls that are working in the career. You can meet them and you wouldn't necessarily know. You wouldn't know that they have a sponsor on the side and maybe
until
later.
But do you feel like also, you get jaded living here, that you have so much available to you because of your position here, that also you get bored quickly and you also have a wandering eye. How do you decide to focus? When would you like to see the switch where you go from, now I'm going to settle down?
It's all well and good, us, like I'm saying, as a male, saying, the ladies or the girls did this and they did that. The same applies to the men and how we are here, absolutely. Back in the UK, I would say I had relationships. I'd never been unfaithful. I would never even dream of that. And I wouldn't ever, I would be grateful for what I had in front of me in terms of a relationship. When you come to Dubai, when you enter this bubble, this incredible bubble that it is, and that has brought me everything that I could have dreamt of so far in my life, the one aspect that it can really tempt you is when you gain that success. And as you're garnering that success, because we've spoken about this, there's temptation and opportunity all around you. You know, you're in a city with 20,000 Emirates stewardesses. You know, you've got tourists here left, right, and center. And where the reputation of Dubai is, you know, Lamborghinis, Ferraris, wealthy men, this, that, and the other, girls are coming for a piece of that. And guys know that girls are coming for a piece of that and therefore take advantage of that equally.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It really is sort of that time when a lot of people, especially in these sort of summer months as well, get very unsure about the direction of their life or what path to choose. And it's not uncommon at all to sort of face challenging decisions and the way forward can seem just a little bit unclear. So BetterHelp is here to sort of guide you, whether you're contemplating relationships, careers, navigating any aspect of your life. Therapy can be your guiding light and it helps you stay connected to your true desires and sort of empowers you to move forward with confidence and a renewed sense of excitement. So I wanted to take this time to share this sort of new way of doing therapy, as it were, because this kind of therapy, online therapy with BetterHelp, it's an online platform designed to make therapy convenient, flexible, and it's suited to your schedule, which if you're busy, like most of us are, with children, work, and God knows what, relationships and everything else, it's really hard to make appointments fit in. So to be able to have some therapy that's flexible and suited to your schedule, and it's as simple as filling out a brief questionnaire, and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist who aligns with your needs and preferences, is just really a dream. And the best part is, if you don't like your therapist, you can change your therapist for no additional charge anytime. So let the therapy be your map. Let BetterHelp guide you towards a happier, more fulfilling life. Visit betterhelp.com/divorcenotdead today. You'll get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/divorcenotdead. Remember, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp because we believe in transformative power of therapy. So don't wait. Start your journey today and start living your best life like I am. It's that easy. And sometimes just having that third party that isn't connected to you give you the advice is all we need. Let's get back to the show.
A Dear Media original podcast.
Her name is Coco.
For a while, it seemed like Coco Berthmann was everywhere.
There was this girl from Germany who had been trafficked in a most horrible way.
But in early 2022, it all fell apart, and people started questioning everything Coco had ever said.
Is her name even fucking Coco? We don't even know that.
I'm Sarah Ganim, host of Believable, the Coco Berthmann story, a new investigative series from Dear Media. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think Dubai does have this sort of false sort of exterior where people come here to reinvent themselves. People come here, I think, when they have sort of ended their sort of relationships or, you know, looking for a new life. And they sort of, Dubai is a very easy place to reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
And the money here is very apparent compared to any other town. And if you moved when we all did, there was a lot of opportunity. I mean, the Dubai itself now is getting to a place where, you know, it's harder. But
there's two sides to the city. It's not that there's the international perception that it's all glamour. No, it's not. Have school teachers, workers, people that are earning normal salaries just as you would back home. I think the only difference is the temptation to draw that money out of your pocket is greater here than in any other city I've ever witnessed in the world. Everything that comes in, it's so easy for it to go out twice as fast.
And this city is made up of expats anyway. Yeah. So, you know, you are an English boy at heart, as in, I mean, we grew up very close to each other. So our fundamentals, the way we were brought up, that doesn't change, you know. So, you know, ultimately you will want that lifestyle. Yeah. You do want that lifestyle, but it's, you know, what does that look like over here? It's very difficult because, as you said, I don't know if you could have a complete powerhouse because you don't have much time. On the other hand, somebody that you have to worry about as well, it really is a difficult way. It's like, what kind of job would you be okay with having your girlfriend do here? Because it's like, you know, you wanted to work, it's not about the wage, really, how much she earns. It's just about having something to keep her mind focused.
I think it's very important that no matter who you are, in what position you are, whether you consider yourself, as they call it, a traditional housewife or a working partner or mother, I think it's important for everyone to head towards their dreams and goals, whatever they are. Otherwise, what is life for anyone? So I don't believe that, you know, a lady should stay at home or a wife should stay at home. And I know it's still a job looking after the house and the kids and things like that. But in a city like this, you don't even need to do that. You've got your maids and your nannies and your drivers. So it's even more important, I think, even for mental health, that you do have a distraction. And every one of us on this planet have our own passions. It's got to be something that you're passionate about that you want to take up or to spend a certain amount of your time, whether it be on a daily or weekly basis, practicing. And I think that's very important in any relationship. And I think both parties have to respect and encourage each other towards doing those things. Going back to what you're saying, for me, you know, if I'm honest with you, Caroline, like I grew up, like you said, I'm a British boy at heart. I grew up single mother, and all I've ever wanted is a family. It's all I've ever wanted deep down. And I think somewhere along the line in this city, I lost that focus. That was the motivation. But the main motivation behind everything that I've done, especially career-wise, was in order to generate a lifestyle, afford a lifestyle for myself so that I can have a family and give my kids time that I never got. That is the honest truth when it comes to me, isn't it?
But I think that's normal to sort of lose focus on that when you're building, you know. And I think what we all do in life is saying, I'll have a baby when I can sit back and, you know, not worry about anything.
Yeah.
But does that ever happen? Because, you know, the trouble is when you're like yourself,
you keep chasing.
When is enough? When are you going to say, you know, you run these businesses, you're on a racetrack, you're on private jets, you're, you know, what is enough? When are you going to say stop? I mean, you're still a lot younger than me, but you know, you're 32 now.
Right? 32 in 2 weeks.
32 in 2 weeks. So, you know, this is a good age to start.
You know, but that's exactly what I've realized. I think the pandemic, for all the ups and downs it can cause people, for me, I think I see it as such a fruitful, beneficial time for me mentally, because it allowed me to refocus on what is important to me in my 30s. You know, what are the goals I want to achieve? And look what I have achieved. Be grateful for what I have got rather than constantly looking to what I haven't got. And I've realized I am going to keep chasing this fairy tale that doesn't just hand itself to you. If I find the right person, I need to, you know, commit myself to that in order to build that life that I always dreamed of as a kid. And that can come in tandem. That doesn't mean I suddenly drop my career. And I think that's why I always had a fear that suddenly my whole career has to be sidelined for that. And it doesn't, not with the right person and not with the right structure between each other. And what's the right word?
You can actually build it together. I mean,
yeah,
that's another thing. I think people forget and they get fearful of like what having a serious partner by your side means, that you lose yourself. And I think, you know, the one thing Sergio and I have managed to achieve is sort of, you know, working together without losing ourselves and our own identities, which is so important. And, you know, it is a juggling game. And actually with what you're, you know, suggesting and doing with the fund, which is so interesting, as I said, having this podcast and talking to so many women, the one thing that some women don't know what to do or come into new money or haven't been exposed to investing on their own and all of that kind of thing. It is a very scary world. And to be able to maybe have someone by your side that you are able to share and teach and show somebody how to grow it themselves as well, I think is that that's what we do. We grow our business together. And actually, you know, as I said, this is a part of the business side. I mean, I know nothing about it. I wish I did. I wish I knew more about investing. I sometimes get sent these things from friends. Well, even, you know, we talked last week about it, but I've invested in a whitening company, a motorbike company, electric motorbikes. I mean, I don't know. I just had a go, right? Yeah, I've had a punt, and whichever one IPOs, I'll be lucky. But
I'll give you one that can IPO soon if you want.
I know, but I ran out of money. I've been doing my house. You got me on the tail end. But, you know, these kind of things, they're so exciting. And, you know, actually, I wish I'd had someone advising me and understanding all that. And I think it should be more open to women. I mean, I don't understand the crypto world. I don't understand the blockchain world. I wish I did. And all of this is more geared to men. And it shouldn't be, you know, which is why I love what you're trying to do.
I, you know, some of our biggest clients, I think my personal client base, and I don't bring on board new clients personally. We've got a team that does that.
Yeah.
But my biggest three personal clients that I still manage to this day, all women. All women aged between 45 and 55 who are CEOs and managing directors of multinational companies. And they have been working with me now, all of them between 7 and 10 years.
Knowledge gives you power. And I think that, you know, as we've been saying from the dating perspective and being able to hold your own and to know all these things means that you can always have choice. You can always have freedom to choose. You can always say, I'm going to be with you till, you know, till I don't want to be. And that's the best thing, because then you know that when you're choosing that person every day and you don't have to be with that person. I mean, also for a man who's taken on somebody who maybe is reliant on them. It's a horrible thing breaking up with a woman when you know that she's got nowhere to go.
But you know, in this business scenario that we're talking about, where I've got these three clients who are women of multinational companies and the directors, one of them stands out in particular. When I met her, right, she was like stone cold towards me, almost like when she meets a man, she's expecting to be, you know, almost whether maybe talked
more
down
aggressive,
to,
yeah,
or
she's got something to prove.
Like she feels like she's got something to prove. And a lot of successful women that are like that, it's actually, whether they feel that way or not, men struggle with women like that. They struggle with strong, powerful with women because they don't know how to respond to that. They're used to being able to dominate a scenario easily or create a scenario where she is submissive to something. Whereas when that doesn't happen, and they've said this to me, when that doesn't happen, it freaks them out. It freaks men out a lot of the time because they don't know how to handle a woman with that kind of strength, power, authority over a situation, over a discussion with that much knowledge and opinions.
It really is that, by the way. That it's the knowledge that sort of, I see it in conversations with men when as soon as you open your mouth and you can join the conversation and not just listen.
It throws a lot of men. And I think that's why I won them as clients, because I wasn't fazed by that. Anything they chucked at me, I chucked it back, you know?
Yeah.
If they showed me knowledge and opinions, I would take on board those and then treat them as an equal in this scenario of business and go back. And then as what happened was their barriers just broke down. I could see it breaking down meeting by meeting, level to the point where they're like, let's go and have a glass of wine together. You know, I'll bring my husband. Let's all go out for dinner together. Mm-hmm. Suddenly now I've got them on a personable level. And I think the same thing applies. Business and relationships are two completely different things, by the way. And I think that, you know, we shouldn't confuse them. But in this scenario, I think the same thing applies in a relationship scenario. When I've met a strong, independent woman, as men, we've got to understand that that is the norm now. There are more and more women who are career-driven women who have opinions, have knowledge to the same or more than we may have, depending on what industry they're in. And we've got to be able to understand that that's a conversation piece. That's a tool it's actually a great way to get to know someone, because there's no awkward situations. Both people are confident and able to talk. I think, yes, you just got to harness that to your advantage and not take it as a personal threat. So I think the threat is the main thing when it comes to men.
And I think, you know, alongside the rest of the world, but here is catching up. You know, I think this was a place where women were more subservient, I suppose.
Culturally, I think.
Culturally,
like that.
Yes. Yeah. But I feel like it's changed a lot, you know, in the last 7 to 10 years. It really has. And, you know, women are being afforded just as many more opportunities here as the men are. And, you know, there are very, very successful women now in the Middle East. And very celebrated women here. So I think that actually having knowledge is far sexier today for people than it was, you know, I think it was deemed as scary before, but now I really do believe that people are getting a little bit more sick of a pretty face and they want substance when you're going to end up with someone. Because when you're, you know, if you hit a bump in the road or you're knee deep in shit up one day, you actually do want someone that can, you know, lift you back up together rather than just say, thanks, it's been great, I'm out of here.
Especially in the world we live in today, you know, there's issues economically, politically, especially in the West, and hence the spotlight on the Middle East. People need each other more than ever. You can't survive on your own. You know, you need a partner, a family to be with, to lift you, to help you. You need people with knowledge in various different industries to take you into somewhere, a space that's more successful.
Well, I mean, I would totally say that, as I said, knowledge is power. And if you're going to, I've seen many women get divorced or try or not get divorced because they haven't had options or they don't know where to go from there. And being stuck somewhere is the worst. And I think, you know, giving the woman the options and being able to have that is something very sexy because, as I said, then you get choices. And it also means that you're never, ever stuck somewhere you don't want to be. And I think that, you know, going forward, it'll really take over. I mean, the trouble is with the pandemic and everything else that happened, I think we got so used to, people got used to working at home, being alone, and we forgot the human interaction.
You could be taken out.
It was taken out. Yeah. So dating didn't, if you were single during that time, it was really hard for people because you lost touch completely with human contact and kind of got used to being on your own in another weird way, yeah, or forming unnatural relationships through, you know, the phone, texting, you know, when
digital world, the digital world exploded or grew 10 times the rate it was before that because of COVID. Zoom, computer games,
which
now,
I think took
AI.
took a lot of the empathy out of, you know, dating, the modern world, a lot of, like, you know, the connection, yeah, because it's really hard now today, I think, to make a connection with anyone that you sort of formerly and relationships with today. People, it's so easy come, easy go in a way, right? People just sort of move on very, very quickly instead of working at it. And I, you know, everything is work, like nothing is perfect. And I think that that's, you know, from a man's perspective, and I do feel like in a very fast paced world, like maybe you live in, how do you, you know, you do know that you're going to have to work pretty bloody hard at this.
Of course, but I've worked hard my whole life. I'm not afraid of the challenge, but it's a challenge that I want. It's just something that I will overcome that. And, you know, I will create a family that I'm happy with. Ultimately, happiness is the most important thing with all of this, that I think then, like I said, I refocused that and realized that during the pandemic, when you're by yourself and you're
sitting in a huge house,
there's missing all that human contact,
yeah,
human interaction. You realize how important it is, and everything we do, business, everything, it's not your success, it's our success, because without everyone else, it wouldn't have happened. It's as simple as that. When it comes to men over here, I think the big thing here for, you know, I'm looking outside the Burj Khalifa. It's a stunning, stunning city, but it's about finding people here that are like legitimate people with who
good
aren't
intentions,
fake, people that aren't fake. And I think, you know, through my time in Dubai, one of the hardest things to find are genuine people.
Very hard. That is one thing that I get a lot too, because, you know, I'm quite a very open person. And I think, you know, Dubai does, it has a lot of good and a lot of bad. And it's once you find your tribe here, which is difficult, but I think, you know, we've genuinely got a really good group of friends now here. And it's, you know, we've found
it
real
takes time
people.
It takes time to build that, right? It takes a long, long time to build that.
It really
and
does.
It's, you know, and I've had friends here that I've been friends with for many, many years, and then you lose them because of, for one reason or another. And it's sad how that happens because of people with bad intentions. And I, you know, I try to keep myself very clear of those scenarios that nowadays. And that's why, like you said, you got a good group of people, a good group of friends, and you just have to stay within that. It's because you never know who's trying to take advantage of you or what someone's agenda is.
I mean, we're speaking about this is from a Dubai perspective, but it's kind of like this anywhere in the world now. I think people have got a lot more cutthroat. People have got a lot more greedy. People have got a lot more, life is harder than it was. So people have got, as I would say, run over their grandmother to make a buck today. So, and you need to be aware of that. And I think that the importance of, be it any kind of relationship, and that teaching you to share and to have those emotions that doesn't make you cold in a world that is getting colder with all of these things, it's so important. And Dubai is one city like that, but New York is just as hard and fast, really. I have a lot of friends that struggle over there, and it really is. I think it just comes down to, as a man today, is making the decision. And I always say, no man is ungettable. No man is never going to not settle down. It's just timing with a man, timing and, I guess, when he's ready. It's as simple as that, because sometimes, you'll have a guy that's dated a whole load of gorgeous women, and then the next one that comes along it happens so quickly.
They always say, oh, you'll know when you're ready. And I don't believe that, to be honest. Using me as an example here, I have to, I want a family. Okay. Well, in order to achieve that, I have to do X, Y, and Z. And I want to do that properly because I don't want a broken family, especially at a young... Coming from where I had no father, for my whole life from the age of two. I don't want to be the father that's not there for my children. So, I need to make the required moves to get that goal.
I mean, it is like a job. And I think today it's like you just have to be open to looking outside the box of what maybe you thought you were going to look for before, because everything has changed. And I was saying, the rules to relationships have changed, and the way we were brought up has changed. So you're now looking for somebody that's going to enhance your life and to, take care of you in a different way. And what will work for you now maybe wasn't what society told you should work for you.
It's all changed, hasn't it? I think from what I've learned from my experiences in relationships is communication. I think the idea, this whole communication, even if, to the point where it's like, look, this is what I want. What do you want?
What do you want?
It is uncomfortable, yeah. But I've learned the importance of that. And if you can get that out of the way at the beginning, and both of you are grown up and mature enough to, okay, you want this from the relationship, I want this from the relationship. Here are the areas where maybe there's some clashes. Let's compromise, right? And then, so these are the things that I've learned, and I know that these are the conversations I need to have in the future and get that out of the way, and then be able to, hopefully, obviously there will always be hurdles, but hopefully be able to have a smoother route and a smoother channel to enjoying a wholesome relationship like you and Sergio have. And it comes across, you enjoy it. I want to have fun, I want to have all the experiences in the world. I want to enjoy my time.
I think that you've made a really mature point there, because it's very hard for men, especially young men like yourself, in this position, to have those conversations. Normally women want to have those conversations. Men absolutely do not. They don't see why they should be discussing, how finances will work unless they're getting engaged. Why should, but I actually beg to differ. All of those things should be discussed at the beginning. Because it doesn't get easier, it gets harder. And so if you have expectations of how the house will be run, I don't know, stupid things like who's going to fill the fridge, who goes to fill the petrol, anything. It's so important that you have these discussions. And I think the one thing that Sergio and I did and that was so successful for us is we had all those discussions. But that was based on me being older and being divorced, right? So I had the balls to say all this stuff. And a lot of young girls who, if you're 32, probably your wife or girlfriend will be in mid-20s, or 30. It's a hard, it's not an easy topic to bring up, to go walk into someone's house, not date one, but, as you're going through and say, well, how does my life look? Are we going to be sharing a bank account? Am I moving in with you? And without guys, because guys normally, run for the hills when that happens.
That's the benefit, I think, of a guy like me. A guy like me has so many drawbacks because of how we are, what we do career-wise. But one benefit is that we learn. We have to learn because our life revolves around learning.
Well, you work in this business. It is like doing a business deal.
So I've learned, you know, that conversation, so many issues in past relationships would have been avoided had I had that conversation at the start.
I mean, if there was anywhere to like sort of stress anything, that is one of the most important things. I really think it is life-changing that having that and being able to have that without freaking out. And most men cannot, Omar, to today. Even when they're getting, you know, divorced, they can't have that conversation. And it's so important. And actually, a lawyer said to me that a marriage contract or any sort of relationship should be renegotiated every 2 to 3 years, like any contract would be.
Circumstances change. Yeah. And, you know, I think there's two areas which, again, from my personal experience, I'm looking at it as where men need to have the balls, right? Is number one is encouraging that conversation early on. And like you said, you know, the women want to have that conversation. The men run away from it usually. It's putting that in place early on. But then also having balls in situations where, you know, I could be dating one girl for a period of time. And in that time, I've met someone else through friends, just coincidentally out and about, right? And then, you know, you like her. And then it's having the balls as a man to make a decision. And that, I think, when I say make a decision between one girl over another, make a decision to get engaged, get married. You've got to...
There'll always be someone prettier, richer, better looking, yeah. You know.
And that's, like I was saying earlier, in Dubai, you can always have that as a man. It's very easy to always just, without thinking, it's not like it's in your interest, it's in your subconscious somewhere. It's like a rope or a little kid in your brain holding you back constantly.
And I can do better.
It's exactly that feeling, yeah. That I could do better. Or there might be something better suited out there for me with all good intentions. But there comes a point where you just have to draw the line, right? Draw the line, make a decision, commit to it, and then have these discussions. And I think I've learned that personally. Well, I've grown the balls to accept that I have to communicate, put terms on the table. So everyone knows everything's out in the open, like you said. I think communication is so important.
Well, I think that's a great place to leave this podcast. But Omar, you have said what I've been saying to all these women for a long time. And I think, as you said, we need to have those uncomfortable conversations to have a better life. And that's the one thing, as I said, I afforded myself to have with Sergio, because I weirdly didn't think it was going to work with Sergio because of the age difference. So when I blurted out everything I wanted in a relationship, I didn't care at the time whether he ran or not. But as it happened, it was the best thing ever because it just changed everything for us because we knew what we expected.
Truth's out.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Once it's out, it's much easier once the truth's out because you can never be then held or accountable for something that you didn't say at the beginning when you should have said it.
Well, I hope that this is the start of a whole new breed of men who are able to have these conversations and share their feelings with women and have these sort of even contracts, even financial contracts in a way, because, you know, if you have these at the beginning from down to I'm a big person on prenups, all of these things, if you have these conversations and these things in place, then there is no scary to the rest of our lives. You know, for anybody. And I think it's so important. And I think, you know, if maybe then you would make an easier decision, maybe everybody would have an easier time in a city like this when people have so much to lose as well as gain, right? And life would be a lot simpler and people would sort of, you know, I feel like marriage has sort of lost its sort of excitement in a way because people are so scared of it.
Will help, from my perspective, will keep trying to help and educate and give knowledge to women on the world of investment and things that we're experts in and open the doors for them. And after this podcast, I'll try and do the same way, encourage and enlighten men to communicate and be open from the off.
Thank you, Omar. So for anyone that wants to follow Omar, he's at OJ Lifestyle on...
Omar Jackson DXB now.
Oh, sorry.
You've changed it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Omar Jackson DXB on Instagram.
Where else can they find you?
You can find me, Omar Jackson DXB, on Instagram. It's my most active social media. I'm also on TikTok under my same name.
Thank you, Omar.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all for listening to another episode of Divorce Not Dead.
Thank you for listening to Divorce Not Dead. Tune in next Wednesday for a new episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We'd love to hear from you. Follow me on social media at Caroline Stanbury for all the behind-the-scene action.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.